That's the number one thing you have to do, is to work on yourself.
What if nothing's holy and everything's allowed?
Because the truth is, you are enough.
I now always go with the heart.
There has to be a better way.
Tell yourself true things about God, not about yourself. God's word has to be your filter, your lens through which you see your emotional responses.
There is a better way. And now your host of The Better Way, this is Libby Glosson.
Hey, my friend, I've got to give you a heads up today. I'm here to warn you that you're being watched. And no, I am not being melodramatic. You are actually being watched for one purpose. And that is, there's a plan that's being put into place with one goal: to undo you, to rob you of the true joy and fulfillment that you were created for in the first place. And here's the scary part. This plan is hiding in plain sight. It's masquerading under seemingly helpful, seemingly good slogans and messages like "the future is female" or "strong is the new sexy." How about "your body, your choice"? Or my personal favorite, "well-behaved women seldom make history." Do some of these sound familiar? I'm willing to bet they do, because they're swirling around us all the time. And everything that we watch, listen to, read, we hear these messages, and these are the mantras of feminism. But the question is, and what we're going to talk about today is, are these messages, are these promises of the feminist agenda helpful? Are they really helping us? Are they really leading us to the fulfillment and joy and success and satisfaction that they promise? Or are they leading us away from something that is so much better? Listen, ladies, it's time that we stop buying into this idea that the feminist agenda is just about equality, you know, the voting rights and the equal pay, all of that, and dig deeper into what I'm going to call the schemes of feminism, because that's what the Bible calls the plans of the devil, schemes. We've got to dig deeper, because I'm going to guess that if you've bought into this at all, if you have bought what the feminists are selling in any capacity, you're probably feeling way more empty and way less purposeful than you thought you might be. So let's dig into this today. What is the lie and where does it come from? Well, I'd like to submit to you that the feminists did not come up with this lie. They did not come up with this agenda. This is really a tale as old as time. Cue the Celine Dion soundtrack. It's the oldest trick in the book, and it's the trick and the lie that the serpent used to deceive Eve. It's the lie that what God has given us isn't enough. And because it isn't enough, it's up to us to find it. We need more. We deserve more. So we're going to go find it for ourselves. And this is how the enemy works. He hides the lie in a nugget of truth. He twists scripture and twists God's good things just a little bit so that we chase after the wrong things. So the feminists and their message of equality, it's the surface level message of women should have access to everything that men have access to, whether it be education or jobs, or even in our roles in marriage and parenting. We should be the same as men, that men and women are the same. But guess what? Last time I checked, men and women are not the same. We are not. We're different. And this is a good thing. So what do we do with the feminist message of equality? What does the Bible have to say about equality? Well, you might have heard along the way some folks using the scripture Galatians 3:28 to make their case for equality between men and women, that men and women are the same. Even some Christian feminists will use this verse to support their point of view. And first of all, I would like to say there's no such thing as a Christian feminist. So if you meet someone who identifies herself as a Christian feminist, please ask her lots of questions and share the gospel with her. So anyway, Galatians 3:28 says, there is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Does this verse say that women are the same as men? Well, ladies, here's where I'm going to encourage you to start looking at the context of the scripture that you're studying. Do not read one verse standalone. Please do not cherry pick verses out of scripture to fit the point that you're trying to make. Back up. Look at the context. So Paul is writing to the churches at Galatia here to teach them about salvation. And this verse is equality in regard to salvation. So when it comes to a relationship with God, everyone is on level playing ground. There's not different rules for men and then different rules for women, nor are there different rules for Jewish people and different rules for Gentiles. The same rules apply. Faith alone, in Christ alone. That is the path of salvation. And that is what Galatians 3:28 is meaning. Not that men and women are the same. Remember the hidden lie that we're talking about today. What God has given me is not enough. I want what I don't have. So let's dig a little bit deeper into that scheme of feminism. What's buried under there? What's buried in their message? And if we're being honest, what's buried in our hearts as women, as Christian women, as we pursue these things and want what we don't have? What's buried under there is really a prideful denial of authority. And what does that sound like in our hearts and our minds? It might sound like, I should have the right to autonomy. I should be able to govern myself. I should be able to make decisions without any outside influence. And to the world, it might also sound like the Bible is so 2,000 years ago. It's outdated. It's an antiquity. It doesn't apply to our culture today. And even further than that, the feminists want to blame the Bible for the oppression of women. They say the Bible is responsible for the oppression of women. But let's read it for ourselves and we will quickly see that the Bible actually teaches that Christians are to die to self and live for Christ. We're supposed to count others as more significant than ourselves, and we're supposed to live out the greatest two commandments, which are to love God and love others. So men and women alike, we should be making our lives about others, not about ourselves. And we should be making the goal to bring glory to God, to live for Christ, and not to get our own way. That applies to all of us. When it comes to men and women, the Bible actually teaches that men are to be the protectors and providers, that husbands are supposed to be willing to die for their wives, like Christ died for the church. And that certainly is not chauvinistic or bigoted. This is men willing to and wanting to reflect Christ in their treatment of women. This is a good thing. So let's think about the feminist agenda as an iceberg for a second. If you think about it like the tip of an iceberg sticking out, that's the part that you can see on the iceberg. For us today, that's that equality message. That's the part of feminism that's really obvious to everybody else. But there's a whole lot more underneath that larger part of the iceberg that's hiding under the water that, you know, sinks ships and stuff. That's what we need to look at. And at the core of feminism is an absolute rejection of God and a desire to create a reality completely devoid of God. The feminists want to ultimately dethrone God and throw him out the door. And how do we know that? Because those iceberg messages, those underlying messages of feminism, I think you will agree, you'll quickly see if you just dig for 1 second, swim below the surface, you'll see that they're all about murder of the unborn, that they want to normalize lesbianism and transgenderism. And even more than that, they want to fight against biblical gender roles, which ultimately dismantles the family. And this is in direct opposition to God and his word. So What are we talking about here? We're talking about dethroning God. I hope y'all see how serious this is, that it is not a sweet little kind message about women and men being equal. This is war, war on God. And so we have to war back, because guess what? We make really awful saviors. And if we're talking about dethroning God, we're talking about enthroning ourselves. And this is ultimately what the feminists want. A world devoid of God, full of little saviors running around serving themselves, making themselves happy and satisfied. And here's what I would like to ask today. How's that going for you? If that's what you're pursuing, how's that going for you? Look at your own heart as you are pursuing this path that I would submit to you is a direct line away from God. How is it going for you? Here's the truth. You're made for relationship. I'm made for relationship. That's how God created us. We're made for relationships, first with God and then with each other. So guess what? We're not made to be autonomous. We're not made to be our own authority. We were created to be dependent on God. Our greatest need is God. And ladies, this is a good thing. So listen, when we come back from the break, we're going to talk about this, how God created men and women dependent on Him and in perfect creation to fulfill God's plan for us in our roles. So I'll see you back here in just a minute.
And we'll be back with Libby in just a moment. And as she's talking about God's design versus cultural messages, I want to recommend a book available to you in the Fortis store at fortisinstitute.org. It is Damsels in Distress by Martha Peace. This book takes head on the challenges that Libby's been discussing today. It provides clear biblical principles for navigating contemporary issues, moving beyond just the cultural noise to find God's truth. The book covers everything from identity to relationships, showing how God's word applies to every area of life. It's Damsels in Distress. It's written by Martha Peace, and it's available in the Fortis store right now at fortisinstitute.org. And something that will help you grow even deeper in understanding these truths is the Fortis Plus app. I love sharing this because it's completely free. 7 new posts every single day will help you navigate current cultural challenges from a biblical worldview. And you're going to get access to hundreds of hours of content that will strengthen your faith and equip you to live with biblical conviction in a world that's increasingly hostile towards Christian truth. You can find it right now at fortisplus.org, and you can download the Fortis Plus app to your mobile device. Absolutely free. And you know, speaking of our current culture, we see what's happening. Christianity has moved from being viewed positively to neutral to now negative. But we at Fortis Institute refuse to stand by and watch it happen. We refuse to be silent. That's why we've brought together some of the most trusted voices in Christianity, voices like Libby Glosson, to help equip you and your local church to navigate these times with biblical truth. But we can't do it alone. When you partner with us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner, you're helping us create resources that show there's a better way than what the culture offers. Your support enables us to continue producing content that points people to the truth of God's word and His design. If you're not strapped by any type of unmanaged debt currently, and you're already giving faithfully to your local church, we would be honored to have you join us in this mission. Just visit fortisinstitute.org to learn more about what it would look like in your life to become an ongoing monthly gospel partner. And now, let's get back to Libby Glosson as she continues to unpack God's better way. This is The Better Way. Welcome back to The Better Way. Now let's turn down the world's noise and get back to The Better Way with Libby Glosson.
And welcome back. I'm so glad you're joining me for the second half of the show today. We've been talking about the notorious agenda of the feminist movement to basically derail us as women with false promises of fulfillment and happiness, all based on one big lie. What God has given us is not enough. We deserve more, and we're going to stop at nothing until we get it. In the first part of the show, we started identifying some of the voices of feminism. And then we started thinking biblically about these things. We started talking about how the Bible tells us that we're actually made for relationships, first with God and then with each other. So when the feminists are trying to tell us that we are made to be autonomous, that we should not have anyone or anything have authority over us, that we should be strong, independent women, we can look to God's word and see that he says the exact opposite. We're actually created to be dependent on God. Our greatest need is God. Psalm 16:2 says, "You are my Lord. I have no good apart from you." So why do we keep fighting this? Why do we keep trying to run the absolute opposite direction away from God's better plan? And you know, God's word says a lot about his creation of men and women and his plan for the roles and functions of women. In the very first part of the Bible, Genesis 1:27, God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Guess what that means? That means you are an image bearer of the creator of the universe. Uniquely, in your womanhood, in who you are, you reflect the God who created everything. There are ways that men reflect God that women cannot. And there are ways that women reflect God that men cannot. The bottom line is that image bearers, we can't operate autonomously. We have to have something to reflect. Kind of like the moon reflects the sun. You know, the moon does not generate its own light, right? The light that you see coming from the moon is actually reflecting from the sun. So in the same way, if we don't have God to reflect, we're not reflecting anything. And in God's kindness, he allows us, he created us to reflect him. So to all these feminists out there that are trying to feed us this line that Eve was held captive in the garden against her will, that she was forced to be under subject submission to God and to Adam, I say no. Eve was actually a special creation of the Most High God, just like you are. And she was meant to be captivated, not held captive by her creator. And so are you. You have a role to play, my friend, a specific role in the kingdom of God. So what does that role look like? So we're going to throw out a big term today, and that is complementarianism. So our roles and functions as women are complementary. Don't hear me saying complementary because I'm not about to tell you how great your dress looks or how well-behaved your children are. This is a different word, complementary, and it means to complete or enhance or provide additional detail or information. Kind of like two halves to a circle. You can't have a whole circle without both halves, right? Think of it like an orchestra. If you went and bought your ticket and got dressed up and sat down in your fourth row seat and the curtain opened and the whole stage was full of tubas, I think you might walk out and leave. Because we go to the orchestra to listen to the beautiful music of all the instruments playing their parts together, right? That's the picture of the parts that men and women play in our roles in God's kingdom, when we play our parts all together, according to the song that composer God wrote, remember it's his song, not your song, it's God's song. Your part is unique. This beautiful music is what is the result. So please stop trying to play someone else's instrument. Stop listening to the feminists and complaining about your part. And for heaven's sakes, stop trying to play someone else's part. The Bible calls us to play our parts with joy. So what do those parts look like? What does God's word say about our roles as women? Well, the first thing we read in Genesis 2, 18 through 25 are some of those roles. And I'll just give you one verse. "The Lord God then said, 'It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make him a helper suitable for him.'" So one of our roles is to be the support staff for our husbands. We're like their counterparts and their companions. We're not beneath and we're not above. We're there to support them so that they can carry out God's call on their lives. Something to think about. How are you specifically and uniquely a helper suitable for your husband? Another thing that we're called to do as women is we're called to voluntarily and joyfully submit to our husbands. Now, don't get all defensive, ladies. Listen to what I'm about to say. Many times we start this argument with Ephesians 5:22, and that verse says, "Wives, be subject to your own husbands as to the Lord." So, are we supposed to submit to our husbands? Yes, 100%. That is what God's word says. But please back up. Remember we talked about context? You have to back up and look at the entirety of what Paul was writing to the Ephesians. Before he dives into wives' roles and husbands' roles, he actually starts the whole thing with a disclaimer in verse 21. So Ephesians 5:21 says, "Submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ." So the source of our submission is out of love for Christ. Our marriages should testify to the story of Jesus as we submit to one another. Now that's a part we should all find joy in playing, right? Okay, how about that we're called to be managers of our homes? In Titus 2, the older women are commanded to teach the younger women in verse 5 to be sensible, pure, workers at home, kind, being subject to their own husbands, so that the word of God will not be dishonored. Do you hear the purpose behind making your home a place of respite and truth for your husband and children? There's a bigger purpose, so that the word of God will not be dishonored. Guess what happens when we listen to the feminists and refuse to do these things? We fight against these things. There's consequences. The word of God is dishonored. And we don't have that place of respite and truth for our husbands and children. What about our roles in the church? So we know that God's word is very specific that we're not to lead or teach or exercise authority over men, but we have the great joy of discipling and teaching other women. Just like the verse I just read in Titus 2:5, older women and younger women working together to advance the gospel for the good of the kingdom, to reach the world with the good news. And single ladies, let me talk to you for just a second. Remember, we are not looking for a stage full of tubas. We have to have all the instruments playing their parts, and you have a special part to play. You have a special part to play that includes having more time to serve others within the church and also to do community outreach that maybe your married friends or ladies with children might not have time to do. So play your part loud and strong and with joy, single ladies. We need you. All of this, all the roles that God has designed for women, they are the literal opposite of oppressive. Don't listen to the lies of the enemy, the lies of the feminists, trying to convince you that the path of happiness is paved with independence and autonomy. That is part of that big lie that what God has given us is not enough. And hey, remember that dethroning God thing? Guess what? That's not our call and not the feminist call either. God is already enthroned. He is already reigning sovereignly over the universe. He's God and we are not. So whether we believe it or not doesn't make a difference. We can find the joy in fulfilling our roles, or we can fight it and not experience that ultimate joy that testifies to the story of Jesus. Remember, even in our roles as men and women, it's really not about us anyway. It's about enthroning the God of the universe on our hearts. So I would ask you, who's enthroned on your heart? And you might be asking a really good question right about now. How am I supposed to know who or what is on the throne of my heart? So let me help you with this for a minute. Do you have a high view of God because you understand who he is? Are you willing to die to self and live for Christ? If you're examining your heart and realizing that you're living for yourself, maybe you've been buying what the feminists are selling and your life just revolves around you, this is your time to change. This is the moment that you shift, that you repent and turn and start living every moment for His glory, embracing the authority of His word and living with joy in your role. Psalm 16:11 says that it's in God's presence that we find fullness of joy, not in asserting ourselves as women and fighting for our proverbial rights. We conform to the Bible. The Bible does not conform to us. So ladies, please stop listening to the voices of this world. Trust God and His word and the fact that He is working all things together, that His design for you and your womanhood is the better way. Now put it into practice for your good and God's glory.
This has been The Better Way with Libby Glosson, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed The Better Way with Libby Glosson, would you consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? And also, would you consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until tomorrow, go serve your King.